I'm Brittany.
And I'm Heather.
Welcome to OKS Moms, the podcast.
A place to be more than just mom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of OKS Moms, the podcast. Brittany here.
And Heather. We are back with a Ask Us Anything episode. It's kind of a combination of questions you've given us and like a frequently asked questions.
And we had like an uptick in our audience. So welcome. We're happy you're here. And this helps, you know, just get to know us a little better.
We are probably too open of books. So.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So, and it's also kind of like a little bit of a life update as well. So I am going to start. I'm going to give an update on my daughter, Isla. So if you're newer around here, my daughter was diagnosed with autism at about 2.5, and I've shared a lot of what it's like to parent an autistic child. And as she's gotten older, she's now 8, or will be when this episode airs, the way I've shared about her has kind of shifted, because now that she's getting older, and eventually at some point she will be an adult who will see what I've done and what I've said about her on the internet, that I want to be respectful of her, but also share what I feel like is appropriate to share to help other moms like me. So she, to give you a background of her education and how autism has intersected that, she was in preschool when she was diagnosed. At the time, she was at a general gen ed play-based preschool, and which was serving her fine, but when she was diagnosed, we realized there were other needs that could be served at a different preschool. So she was put into special ed preschool through our school district. She was in a class of, it was an all autistic class. So other autistic students, and there were several aides, and they're all working on different goals, but kind of had enough overlap that they could all be in a class together. And she thrived in that class, did really well, made a lot of progress. And it kind of became clear that that was a little too restrictive. She didn't quite need that much support. And so we put her back in her play-based preschool, and she just like thrived and did perfectly well. So she started TK because of the way her birthday fell. She was eligible for like an extra year of kindergarten, basically. And we had always gone into the education system like with the idea of, let's see what she needs, and when she needs it, then we will advocate for that. And kind of just like, we thought she had enough skills that she may not need an IEP. We certainly weren't against it, but TK year, the world closed, and just like everybody else, we're kind of thrown into the lion's den. And so since then, it has kind of just been worked in her favor, because her biggest areas of development have always been socio-emotional, which of course every child her age was also struggling with their socio-emotional development. So it's really been helpful to focus on that in her classes. And truthfully, like all the things she struggles with are very age appropriate things to struggle with. It's just like a pinch more. And so she does need some supports, but there's never been like a good answer of like, she doesn't need a one-on-one aid. She doesn't need like extra time on a test or like some like standard like IEP asks. And so towards the end of last year, we kind of connected with the RSP teacher on campus and had started to talk about maybe doing some more assessments and getting her some more kind of like figuring out what our options were for her. And so we're going to start the IEP process this year. They're starting assessments at school, and then we'll come together with like basically everybody in the district, it feels like, and talk about what's going to work. But one thing that I really think is making all the difference is that she has an amazing teacher this year who is just like really on it and very more adept in neurodiversity, and I think can anticipate things a little bit more. And this is absolutely no shade to her teacher last year, because I was the clueless, struggling, sucking year teacher myself. And I was not a third year teacher. So like I've been there. I get it. she really, I think all the difference for her is going to be having a teacher who she likes and she gets her. And so I think the transition from this school year has been seamless. And I really think it's just because of her teacher. And we're only a few weeks into school. So all is well again.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah, it's always the hardest, like that the pandemic really like shook shit up, like as far as like what's normal, what's not normal, what's
right.
normal, of course, but yeah.
Well, and it's really kind of made me really glad because she was only 2.5 when she was diagnosed. And so it was, there was a lot of, especially from family of like, I don't think it's that big of a deal. And like, you know, like my kid did that too, it's fine. Or, you know, there was a lot of that. And I think a lot of people kind of thought that we were just like looking for trouble basically. And now having this diagnosis in place has really shown me the importance of pursuing that if you think something's wrong, because I'm sure we've all heard about how mental health services are like just backloaded with like the like waiting 6 months to get in. And so I'm really glad we didn't wait. And now that, because she already has that diagnosis, we've already like cleared like 10 hurdles. So we can just get right into like, this is what she needs. This is how we get it. And it's actually kind of made me look a little bit harder at Nolan. So if you're new around here, I have a 6-year-old son who has ADHD. And when you have a sibling on the autism spectrum, there's a very high, much higher incidence of I don't think they're called comorbidities, I forget the word, but like similar neurodivergence, like ADHD, OCD, things in that family. And so we've always kind of kept an eye on it. And it's kind of made me, I'm very hesitant to pursue the diagnosis because it is a different one. And I really think that one sticks with you really, has a very negative connotation, especially for an elementary aged boy. And so I'm very hesitant to pursue it, but it's also kind of made me think like, yes, you have time to wait, but don't wait too long, because I don't want all of this wait and see-ness of the last couple of years to catch up. And then when we really need help, it's still like 6 months to a year out. So if it's on your radar, I think maybe now's the time.
Take some steps forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's when you were talking about that, it made me think, because Sully is in speech, and his first grade teacher kind of brushed it off when I brought it up about just how he said some of his words and sounds. And I also thought like the mask probably wasn't doing him any favors as far as like, you know, copying, what's that called? Copying other people when they speak, and, you know, yeah. Teachers really hearing what he's saying. But she kind of just brushed it off as like, he'll grow out of it. And then second grade rolled around, hadn't grown out of it. And she was like, oh, great. Okay. So let's get him assessed by the speech teacher at school. And he's been going ever since. And she's this year saying like, maybe we put him on an IEP for it, because it seems to be more of an ongoing problem. But it just made me think like, having the right teacher who like gets your kids and
knows the system too
and knows how to get shit done, it makes all the difference in the world.
And I think like finalizing and putting things on paper, because I know sometimes a lot of these agreements with like resource teachers and teachers in the classroom can be very informal, and I say this having been in the classroom, like sometimes you just know what to do and so you just do it, but then the next year they get someone who maybe doesn't know that and doesn't just do it, or like needs to be told that they're required to do the extra thing. And so I think just kind of like firming up anything that you have going on, I think, is a really good idea right now, because if they're not required to, they will push you off the caseload. So
yeah exactly. Yeah. Oh, school, so fun. But speaking of Sully, we also got a question about his fevers and if his chronic stomach aches have to do with that. And the answer is, I don't know, but we
Explain his fevers.
So he has a periodic fever syndrome that he has mostly grown out of at this point, knock on wood. It started when he was 6 months old. He would get high fevers, like 102 to 105, and they would come around once a month, like clockwork, and just be kind of miserable for him for 3 to 4 days, and miserable for me, if I'm being honest.
The whole family.
Truly. And I actually wrote a blog post about this, and we can link in the show notes. And he got diagnosed when he was 3. It was a long process to get diagnosed because it takes multiple blood work that they can compare when he's having a flare and when he's not having a flare. And so it was a long process. And he was seeing a specialist pretty regularly before the pandemic. And then the pandemic hit. And honestly, his fevers got much more irregular during the pandemic. And his specialist believes it's because he wasn't being exposed to germs in that time. And we were wearing masks. And a lot of the times what would trigger his flares was like any other bug that he would get, like a cold turn into a flare, a flu would turn into a flare. So that kind of like knocked it off its axis. And I think now at this point, we're just dealing with feverless flares, which are a whole nother beast, but only really are his mood. And he's kind of always been moody, so I'm used to that. But doing a lot better in that regard. But what has started up since that is he's been having chronic stomach aches. And I posted about this on Instagram. He came home on like the third day of school with a really bad one. And we have been experimenting with cutting things out of his diet. And the one thing that seems to have really worked is going dairy-free. And we had gotten kind of lax on that, hence the stomach ache at school again. And now we're back to being super strict and he hasn't had one since. So that's kind of where we're at with that. I don't think those two things are related at all, unless it's without like diving too deep, like the fever flares are caused by, you know, inflammation, and dairy is known to cause inflammation. So I just wonder if there's some connection in there, but I don't really know. And no one really knows.
I think there's gotta be. I mean, and just logically, like when you think about those two, like they seem very related, but also it's very hard to find a doctor that wants to like
explore it with me. Yeah.
So yeah,
totally. So we're just doing our best, and he's in great spirits now, and the office hasn't called me in a week, knock on wood. So that's kind of where we're at. And we'll be right back after this quick break with more of your questions.
It seems like right now we're in that perfect little sweet spot where the chaos of back to school and learning new routines is behind us, but the chaos of the last 3 months of the year is upon us.
If you've followed us for a while, you know of our undying love for the Essential Calendar. The Essential Calendar allows you to easily see 3 months at a glance, making planning easier and seamless. Just imagine being organized for that black hole between Halloween and New Year's. Plus, the minimalist design fits with any aesthetic. If you're feeling like you're drowning trying to get organized, go to okayestmoms.com/essential to get 10% off your order.
If you love listening to our show and how we normalize imperfect motherhood, then you need to check out the No Guilt Mom podcast.
Our friends, Joanne and Bree, aim to help moms like us raise more self-sufficient kids with fun, humor, and parenting strategies that actually work. It's about delegating our responsibilities as parents so that we can carve out more time for joy and love being a mom again.
I mean, I'm hooked just hearing that. Every Tuesday, they have new episodes where they give you the support, interview experts in the parenting field, and give you the inspiration you need to live life with less guilt, have closer relationships with your family, and slay the overwhelm.
Check them out everywhere you listen to Okayest Moms, the podcast. Okay, so you got a question about, I mean, you get lots of questions about your earplugs. So tell me all the
details. I am now an earplug evangelist. I'm going to start selling them out of the trunk of my car. Okay, so
or an MLM.
Oh, maybe. I found these earplugs back in like the dark, dark days of the pandemic. I saw some woman on TikTok talking about them. I wish I could remember who it was. There's no way to find a TikTok ever again once you've seen it. So
it's gone into the ether.
Go back and kiss her on the lips and credit her for this discovery, but I cannot. So what they are, they're earbud style earplugs, and they basically just like, it's like a mute button for every sound around you. And it's funny because Brittany talked about how the witching hour never ends. It just like changes a couple days ago on our Instagram, and that it's so true. It's just, in our house, it's gone from like everybody crying at the same time to like just like a full on WWE battle, which of course always leads to crying. But it's like, I'm trying to cook dinner. I refuse to stop watching the news while I cook dinner because that's like my like calming routine that I need. But also that just means there's a TV blaring and then the kids are screaming. And so it's just a lot. And then AJ would walk in the door and I would just like, on him, and he was like, whoa, what happened? And it's really funny having an autistic child, because you like, I now have these whole like a laundry list of vocabulary that's like, had that been in my life this whole time, like, do you know how much easier things could have been? Like, I didn't know what a sensory system was up until like 5 years ago. I mean like I knew, but I didn't realize like, oh, I'm very sensitive to sound. And of course, you don't realize that until you become a mother, because you can go home to a quiet house. So like, I mean,
dream.
Those are the good old days. So, but also I think like, as a new mother, you don't have the time to sit there and parse this out of like, wow, I'm noticing from this time to this time, I'm very on edge. And gee, I wonder if it's because of the sound. Is it because of like, you just don't have the time to process all that. And so watching this woman explain this was like, oh my God, is that all it is? And so I bought them immediately, popped them in, and it was like angels singing, because you can still hear your kids. You can still hear them talking to you. You can still hear them like screaming if someone's dying. But like, it's just like a little bit softer. And so it's not so grating. And truthfully, I'm not as good as remembering to put them in the moment as I should be. It's always like, oh, that would have been helpful to have put them in an hour ago. So, you know, working on that, but they're very helpful. And I've also brought them in the car on road trips, because my children have no sense of volume or personal space and like how sound travels. So that has been very helpful. And this school year, Isla is now, so our kids at school had been eating outside because, you know, like open air, pandemic, blah, blah, blah. This year they are back in the cafeteria, and her school is very impacted, and there are probably roughly 250 to 300 kids eating in the cafeteria at the same time. So you can imagine how loud it is. And there was a little bit of a breakdown on the first day. I think it's hard to know. There was some confusion about hot lunch or if she had home lunch and like what to do, because the system had changed from last year. So thankfully, I had two friends who were there on lunch duty that day who could like kind of like help her, but then also relate to me what happened. And this is kind of goes back to like why we want to do the IEP thing, because we just really need like some boots on the ground to relay to us what's happening. Because we kept getting emails of like, this happened, like, can you help? And it's like, no, because I'm not there. Like, I can't see the antecedent. I can't see like the environment. Like, I can translate Isla for you, but like, I need all the information to do it. So
context, yeah. People, context.
So she came home and we talked about it, and it came down to just basically like, it's too fucking loud in there, mom. I can't do it. And so, which typically she's not that sensitive to sound, but, you know, that's a very specific extenuating circumstance. So I let her borrow my earplugs under a penalty of death if she accidentally threw them away with the rest of her lunch. And she did a great job. And so I ordered her own pair. But it was recently pointed out to me that there are two different types of earplugs. And so thank you, Kelly, for pointing this out to me. They're so the kind I have are, they're called high fidelity, and they're the experience version. So I think they're really meant for like concert goers, like drummers, like very intense noise softening, canceling,
whatever. Mothers. Yeah,
yeah,
got it.
Yeah, parents for sure. The kind I got Isla, and the only reason I got her this kind is because she wanted teal ones and not gold like I had. Hers are the noise reduction kind. So I haven't actually put hers in my ear to like see the difference, but they worked for her. So I think it just kind of depends on your, and you can go on Amazon. I'll link them in the show notes. You can see like they have that graph of like the differences. There's actually three kinds. So I don't know. I love them. I think they're great. I think even if you don't, if you're not averse to sound, I think you could find them helpful, because I did not think I was, and then I tried them.
I love it.
Okay, tell us how home ownership is going.
Oh my god. Well, we really suck at taking care of our lawn. Part of that is our strict watering schedule we have to be on, because we're in California and we're in a drought.
Also, which I understand. Your adherence to it, because nobody else is.
No one else is. We're following the rules, but it looks like shit. And we don't even really want a lawn, but I know all the old people who live around us are like, I'm sure not happy with how it looks, but it's just got patches. There's some green in there. It's fine. Our goal eventually is to do some drought resistant landscaping, because who has a lawn anymore? Damn it. Other than that, it's going good. I feel like, I don't know, knock on wood. I'm knocking on a lot of wood today talking about all this stuff, but nothing crazy has happened yet. And
why isn't your kitchen remodeled yet?
Yeah, we do. That's in the plans, but everything is very expensive right now. I don't know if you know that.
No.
But yeah, it's definitely on my mind. I'm itching to do something, since, you know, I've rented my whole life up until this point, and I can do something. And now I feel like I have, like, I'm scared to make a decision to do, like, it feels so permanent.
Yeah.
I know it's not, but.
Well, no, but it, but like, it's an investment to do it.
Kitchen
is, you can't like change your mind about, like, you do a sweater. Like, it's a whole thing.
Right. Right. So part of me just wants to put in a pool first and leave the kitchen as is, but Tyler's not really on board for that. We'll see.
Well, that is a little more maintenance than a lawn. So if you're struggling with that. I do think you need to live in it and like figure out exactly what you want to do. So I think not jumping into a renovation is smart.
Yeah, that's, I mean, a few people have said that, and I do get it, but.
And also nothing, it's all very livable working condition. So there's really no point.
Totally.
And I don't know. I feel like you need to like experiment more with like a wallpaper or paint or something like that first, before you like really know the style you want to go for. Cause
totally,
trends come and go. And I think you really have to like decide, like, this is what I like, this is what I don't like. And then, you know.
Yeah. I feel like I have so much power.
Well, and that's that. Yeah, that's a huge problem, too. It's like, I could do this, I could do this, or I could do that. And it's like,
yeah, what, and that, what do you I know do? That's how my brain works.
Yeah.
I like looking at inspiration photos. I'm like, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. It's two different things. Like, how.
Right.
How do I choose?
Well, and then the problem I've always found is like, well, if I do one room, am I required to like keep this style for all the rooms, or can I do, I mean, like, I know I can do whatever I want, but like, would it look okay if I did like a dark moody palette here, but then like light and airy over here? And it's like, does it all like flow together?
Right. Those are things that I like personally have to see, like,
right.
I have to be, so like the hypotheticalness, is that a word?
Yeah.
Like thinking about it hypothetically, it's very hard.
It's one, yeah, and I agree. Like, you want to see it, but also like, you're not going to paint an entire living room and like change the furniture and then be like, oh, no, sorry.
Oh, I hate it. Yeah. Right.
Right. And now you know why, like, every room in my house is like half finished, because I can commit to like some things, but then I can't commit to like a light fixture or like something else.
Oh, man. I know. Well, this is all first world problems, right? Like, it's fun to think about and fun to, you know, eventually we will do it. So, but like you said, no, there's really no hurry, because we're not living in squalor by any means.
Right. When, have you heard about this superstorm that they're predicting is going to hit California and like basically decimate everything? So don't get too attached.
The fuck. Yeah. Then my lawn will be green.
Well, then your lawn will be seaweed. So.
Oh, yeah, that. Oh, God. Well, okay. You got a question. I know you explained this on Instagram, but they must have missed it. How was your somersault swimsuit experience?
Okay. If you listen to this on Instagram, I apologize. I'm going to try and make this very short, but it was a very lengthy process. So, okay. So, much like every 30-something-year-old woman who's ever like looked at social media, I have seen all the somersault ads, always like looked at them and thought like, that's really expensive. I don't know, but I've heard really great things. We have the pool now. Like, I'm in the pool all the time. So I'm like, this is the year to invest in a quality suit. And you had gotten one and you loved it. And so like, I'd seen one in person and not just like on the screen. So I was like, yeah, I like it. I'm going to do it. And then they had their, like, I don't know what they called it, some kind of sale where they're 60% off. And I was like, perfect. Pulling the trigger. We're doing this. And I spent way more time than I'd like to admit combing through reviews, because it's hard to buy a swimsuit, period, but it's even harder to buy it online. And then I knew I wanted a one piece. And then there's like the whole like long torso-ness of it all, which I typically get. So anyways, there was one I really wanted. It didn't come in long. And I convinced myself that I should probably get the long. So I settled for the side stroke, which is like the one strapped one. And I got it, tried it on. It was too long. Like, it was like bunched up like under my armpit and like didn't look great. So I'm like, okay, no problem. I'm going to return this, get a store credit. And then, you know what? Now that I know like the long is too long, I can get the one I initially wanted. Well, in this time, the sale had ended. So, because the refund exchange thing took longer than I thought it would. So all the suits went back to regular price, and which meant I would have to spend more money than I already did to get the suit I wanted. So I reached out to customer service, explained what had happened, and they were, to their credit, they were great. They gave me an extra code so that it would like adjust the price and everything was fine. So I got the suit I wanted was like half black, half white, like down the middle. And it had kind of like a plunging neckline. But then the one good thing about somersault is that they have like models of all shapes and sizes. And it, like, they had one who looked more similar to me. And I thought like, okay, it looks great on her. Like, it'll be fine. Well, I got it and it was not fine. It looked like it was so low cut, like way more low cut than on the model. So I don't know if it was just like my body problem or like what. It looked like Borat in that like one piece thing he wore. Like, it was so bad. And it like smushed my boobs down and like separated. It was like really bad. And on top of that, the white side of the suit, you could see, because this one had cups sewn in, you could see like the whole like outline of the cup, like every stitch. And like, I get white is more see-through, but like, this was not the quality I was expecting at all. And so I returned it again, and I was like, I just give up on a suit. I just, it's not going to work for me. And so I was trying to buy like some joggers or like, you know, like the like Surefire thing. And everything was sold out in my size or the color I wanted. And long story short, I've ended up with a very expensive sweatshirt and I'm grumpy and annoyed. And it's not necessarily Somersault's fault, but also I have heard from other people that the quality is really gone downhill and the sizing is really all over the board. And I just think they're trying to do too much for too many different bodies and too many different styles. And it's just, it's time to pare down. So
yeah, I will share my side stroke. I did love it, but it did start pilling like after one wash. So
yeah,
I never had one from before, but it seems like they changed something and the quality just isn't what it was.
I think they ramped up production because this was the first time they had done that sale. And so I think like it just, you can't have quality and quantity at the same time. And so I think,
yeah, yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's like a knock on them. I still think like I love their business model, their customer service is great, all of those things. I just think like, I don't know, maybe like in a year or two, I'll try again. I think they need to like find their bearings. All right. Tell us, this is completely uncharted territory for me. I don't know anything about any of this. Tell me who your hairdresser is.
I am very jealous that you do not need to know this, but so I actually just started going to someone new. My old hairdresser, she had her third baby and she took some time off, which is great. I'm so glad she was able to do that. Sometimes I feel like people who work for themselves, especially like people in that industry,
yeah, like they get like the 6 weeks and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm so happy she was able to do it. She's also very busy, very booked.
She's very popular.
Really good at what she does. It just got to a point where I needed more availability and I needed more flexibility because my schedule is crazy too. And you know,
but it's like a big chunk of time that you have to be there, right? It's not just like a pop in kind of a thing.
Huge. Like I'm usually there for 2.5 hours. So it's a lot. So I decided to move on and find someone new. And the woman I found is amazing. I really like her. Her name is Elise and she works at the Girl Salon in Roseville. And I am really enjoying her so far and she's doing great work. Great work.
And the salon is so cute.
Oh my God. There are plants everywhere. She's a plant lady. Like it's great. So tell me, will you keep subbing this year?
If I had a dollar for every time I've been asked this question, I would not need to sub. I don't know. I like to keep my stuff current just in case. Like I mentioned a couple episodes back, I've taken on a bigger role with our PTC this year. So I'm finding myself on campus a lot already. And I don't necessarily miss the classroom. I found that I miss being on campus and working at and with a school and school age children. I don't miss teaching them and managing them all day long. I mean, see, like 5 minutes ago when I was talking about like my sensitivity to noise levels, you know what? That would be a really good teacher gift, actually.
Oh, good call. I love that.
So I've told them like, if it's really a pinch, then I can try and do it. It's very hard to do like the day-to-day thing, especially like, you know, if you and I are recording or we have like a meeting set up, it's very hard to, you know, like I can't do it today because I have like an hour and a half of things planned. And like, so that like cuts me off for the whole day. And so it's just, it'd be nice. I'd be happy to do it if they knew ahead of time, like, you know, I need you next Tuesday or whatever it is. So, which course isn't always the case. If we find ourselves in another position like we were last winter where it was like nobody could cover any classes, then I think I definitely will make myself more available. But right now I'm just doing it at my kid's school, and because it's just easier with like drop off and pick up and all that. And I don't know, I was actually talking about this earlier because occasionally somebody will ask me like, do you think you'll ever go back to teaching? And I have always said no, but kept everything current. And I think I'll continue to do that for at least a couple more years. I think there's a lot of really scary conversations happening right now around education. We're seeing things like in Florida, and I know that's not exactly like an apples to apples comparison, but there is a teacher shortage. There has been a teacher shortage for years. And anybody who's telling you otherwise is not, they're simply inaccurate. And so I think if we ever got to a point where like we're offering to hire military spouses with no background to become teachers as they are in Florida, it would feel very incumbent upon me to go back. There's a lot of talk too of, I've heard theories that there's going to be a bigger push to online teaching, and where they don't have the adult bodies to cover individual classrooms. So it will become more like college style, where it's like 200 to 300 kids in a gym and they're all online. And so like, obviously these are just like guesses. But I think like in a lot of states, I think that's very real. I don't know that that necessarily will ever happen in California, but if something like that were to happen, I would absolutely feel obligated and called to go back. So
have you seen that article where it's like, we don't have a teacher shortage. There are actually lots of qualified, awesome teachers, but they stopped working because we treat teachers like shit.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I need more fingers and toes to count all of the women I know who no longer are teachers. And we've known that recidivism, but I know that's not it. We've known that the dropout rate for teachers is very high. I joke that I'm just a statistic because I did my 2 years and I quit. Like 2 years is the drop off point. So yeah, it's absolutely that. It's also, I think there's a huge disconnect between people who say like, I support teachers. I think they're the most important people in the world and they should make more money. And what that translates into the voting booth. I think that there are a lot of people who think they think that, but don't see how their actions, like they think that that decision is above them. Like that somebody else decides that. It's like, no, you do. And I think one of the best ways to support teachers is to support families, because any teacher will tell you the biggest problem right now is parents. And I think part of it is just like entitled upper middle class families who think that their teachers are just their puppets. But also I think in other underserved districts, it's more like kids are coming to school hungry. There's nobody at home when they're getting home to like pick them up or whatever it is. Like if you want to support teachers, you need to support families, because then the teachers can just teach instead of being the counselor, the nurse, the nutritionist, the like all the other things that they are. And then they can just fucking teach. That is all.
Amen.
End scene.
Amen.
So tell us about your other job. You were in Utah over the summer, talking about all your dirty sodas.
All the soda.
Trying to get into the doTERRA plant.
God. So I have a good friend, Jenna, who used to live in California, was raised in Utah, moved back to Utah during the pandemic. She started this company that is basically an events and fundraising company. And she brought me on to help with social media and other little things for each event. And I was out there for a teacher's conference. And it was actually really cool. Like I tried not to go in with any preconceived notions of Utah. And there are like cool, like Utah's a beautiful state. And of course, some of the stereotypes are true, but there's also like a different side to Utah than what we assume. if you can read between the lines.
I think a lot has changed just even in the last like 10 years.
Totally, totally. And we were like in Salt Lake City, and that's, you know, home of Heather Gay and all of that. So it was a fun experience.
Well, but yeah, I'm sure that's a much different experience than being like in the Roseville of Utah.
Totally. Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm doing. And I'm actually going back to Utah next month too, for another event. So we'll report back. I don't know.
Okay. So one other thing we've been asked is about how we feel about student loan cancellations. It was just announced that I'm fuzzy on the specifics. You go for it.
It was announced that student loans, students who took out federal student loans will have $10,000 of them canceled. And if you also, while you're in school, had the Pell Grant, which was for low-income families, you get $20,000 canceled. And there's also a bunch of other stuff in there that I haven't read too deeply into, but it's basically to help future borrowers, make it less predatory, make it more affordable for families and that kind of thing. So it's all good. I don't think it's enough.
And it's not retroactive. So like if you've already paid it off, then you're.
Yeah. Right. So if you paid it off, yeah, you're.
So the Pell Grant thing, because a Pell Grant is it's a grant. It's just, it's free money. So if you had to get loans on top of that, then it will. Okay.
And I'll be perfectly honest, like I will have $20,000 forgiven on my student loans, which basically wipes it all out. And I am thrilled and it's going to be a great thing for my family. Where I grew up, we did not have a lot of money and going to college, I was first generation to go to college. And I basically like spiraled through, had no idea what I was doing. Like I couldn't talk to my parents about taking out student loans. Anyway, so I had been paying on these student loans since I graduated in 2010. So it is, I feel very relieved that I don't have this debt. I won't have this debt hanging over my head anymore.
Yeah. I don't really have an opinion on this. I was a very, very fortunate recipient of Pell Grants and other California-specific grants. And I actually did not ever pay tuition. So because I am one of four, that helped me immensely. And also the time I was applying for college, it was shortly after that first recession, not like the big recession, but there was like a little recession right before that. So my parents had kind of like been laid off and like we're in the process of finding, so like that, you know, that like very specific snapshot that they take of for to determine your eligibility, like all the stars aligned. And so I was eligible for, I essentially didn't pay for college and my tuition. And I did get a couple scholarships that kind of helped with living expenses and books and things like that. And I worked like three jobs throughout college. And so I was able, I mean, it was very stressful. And like you, I didn't really have, my parents weren't like, here's like your $1,000 for the month. Like, you know, like, and there was no like, mom, like I've had the money. Like, can, like, you know, like she would like occasionally come buy me groceries or something like that. But like, there was no bailout. And I did have to take out a loan for my credential program, because that was an entire year outside of my 4 years. And that I did, but I paid that off maybe 5 years after college. So I don't know. I don't really have an opinion on it. I kind of feel indifferent to it because I'm not affected.
I mean, let's be honest though, like we would have been able to pay when the pause was over, like we could afford it at this point in our lives, but there are so many people who literally are in default, wouldn't be able to pay when the pause, when it restarted. Like it's going to change a lot of people's lives. And I think in turn, like when I say it's not enough, education should be free, just like healthcare should be free. Like, that's what I mean by like, it's a good start, but it's not enough. And we need to help the future generations too.
Yeah. And I understand the irritation about people who have already paid it off and no longer qualify. But I mean, that's just fucking life, man. Like, you know, should I be mad that I didn't get a GI Bill? Like, I don't know. Like that's just how
I didn't even get the opportunity.
You know, like, it's just, how it goes. I mean, that's what we want. We want future generations to not have to deal with the shit we dealt with. So that's what happens. And I don't know. And also, I think there are so many, like, not everybody goes on to become an investment banker, you know? I mean, there are so many professions, like teaching specifically, where they're barely making rent. So how are they supposed to, I don't know. It's just a lot. There is a clip of Biden kind of popping off of someone like, what do you say to people who have already paid for it and don't qualify or like aren't going to benefit from it? And he's like, yeah, you know, all those tax cuts for the wealthy, like you don't benefit from that really either. But like collectively we did, like he was basically like, quit your bitching.
Good. Amen.
I think it's a good feather in the cap as we head into the midterm elections. So.
Yeah.
Look, we actually did something.
All right. Well, those are your questions. It's kind of all over the place, but you know, that's how we do.
How we are. We mentioned Instagram a lot. If you are not following us there, we are at Okayest Moms Podcast. Find us there and, you know, hear these stories twice.
If you like what you just heard, and we hope you do, you can find more of us online at www.okayestmoms.com. We're also on all social media platforms, Pinterest, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at Okayest Moms Blog. Or if you want to, you can send us an email at hey@okayestmoms.com.